Marx follows the ever-changing landscape to discuss the latest pressing issues relevant to brand owners in Europe and beyond. During this series, Marx members and special guests share updates, experiences, and opinions. This is IP Law Today. This is Talking Marx.
Hello and welcome to the Talking Marx podcast. I'm James Nurton, the Marx editor. In this episode of the podcast, we're looking forward to the Marx Design Symposium, which will be held in Frankfurt, Germany, on the 29th and 30th of January 2026. Now, registration for the Design Symposium recently opened, and the full programme and all the other information is on the events page of the Marx website. So to tell us a little bit more about this event, today I'm joined by Inga George and Jesse Hofhaas. Inga is an IP lawyer and partner at Boesling IP in Hamburg, and she's also co-chair of the Marx Designs team. And Jesse has his own IP firm in Amsterdam, Hofhaas, and is a member of the Marx programming team. And both of our guests today have been very much involved in putting together the Design Symposium, so we're very much looking forward to hearing from them. Welcome.
Thank you, James.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So, Inga, perhaps we can start with you. Can you tell us a bit about why Marx has decided to hold a design symposium and why to do it now?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to introduce this event. And from my point of view, product design protection is always relevant in everyday IP practice. Personally, for me, it is my most favorite field. It is very fun and challenging. It is multifaceted as everything comes together here, design and copyright, 3D trademarks and unfair competition, as well as filing and litigation strategies. So there's always plenty to talk about. However, right now there's some specific developments taking effect, one being the EU design law reform, which has been adopted at the end of last year and is currently being implemented and taking effect step by step. Another one being the Riyadh Design Law Treaty, which is relevant for international design filings. Besides, we're currently awaiting the preliminary ruling of the European Court of Justice in the so-called Mio Conetra case. That is scheduled for 4th of December 2025, and the case deals with the intersection of copyright and design law, and the question under which circumstances works of applied art and the underlying case that was certain pieces of furniture can be protected by copyright law. And as the listeners will know, this relates to a long-standing legal debate, and the case law in the single EU member state is, so to say the least, not always consistent. Therefore, this decision is expected to massively shape the legal landscape of maybe even the next decades to come. And then, of course, AI creation is currently adding a full new level to the field, which we're all just starting to make sense of. All that said, we were super happy and excited that the new Marx chair, Claudia Pappas from ThyssenKrupp, actually encouraged and supported this event, which is entirely dedicated to product design protection and its various facets.
So there's a lot happening both internationally and at the EU level, isn't there? And as you said, that important case, we're expecting that decision in December. So that will be out before the design symposium happens, in fact.
Yes, that's correct. So the case will be still very fresh, but we will have a chance until then to look at it, and we will get the views of a designer, an in-house counsel, and an experienced IP litigator, and what the case means for them in practice.
Thanks. Yeah, so maybe that's a good point then to bring in Jesse to maybe tell us a little bit more about the program and the topics that are on the program for the design symposium. Jesse.
Yeah, thank you. So what we have tried to do with the program is, as the subtitle goes, from cradle to eternity, by which we mean that it is intended to, let's say, describe the whole lifespan of product design. And this is sort of the opportunity we have because it's the first design symposium that we can use this to sort of lay the groundwork, so to say, and take the attendees of the conference from the design process, which is the first session, which indeed, of course, will address the Mio Connect judgment, but also, let's say, the perspective of the designer, him or herself, and take it from the contractual elements, how to ensure that the rights end up where they should lie, to the design registration, and that's where the eternity part comes in, the options to get a product design or a product design element protected as a trademark. And so the concept of the program is to give this full lifespan analysis, so to say, of product design and IP. And of course, there will be topics that will be delved into more deeply than others. But roughly speaking, we aim to give a full impression of where the protection of product design in the EU stands in 2026 after the Mio Connect judgment.
Great. And I think am I right in saying the design symposium, the whole thing is a sort of roughly a day and a half, and I think there are five main sessions, is that right? So there should be lots of material for people to engage with.
Well, indeed. So it is structured quite similarly to an annual conference in the sense that there are sessions with at least in four of them, several people on stage, and there will be an afternoon of workshops, the Thursday afternoon, and people can choose which of the workshops they want to attend. The one exception in the comparison to the annual conference is the fourth session, which is a slightly briefer session than the other ones, which will be a one-man performance by Jorn Torenbos, who just wrote his PhD and received honors for it on the analysis of unfair competition as a EU harmonized area of law, which I think is quite a spectacular. He has some spectacular findings. So we are now, by the time we have this conference, we have had the Mio Connect judgment, and I think Jorn will be telling us what we will be discussing in the 10 years to come, when it will be the question of harmonization of unfair competition, which up to this date is an almost non-existent topic, although I think he can convincingly show that we will in fact enter an era where it will be perceived as an harmonized area of law also.
Sounds very interesting, Inga.
I agree. Super interesting. Yes. And I heard he's a great presenter, a great speaker. The Dutch colleagues are full of praise for him.
And that will be session four, won't it? So that's at 10:15, I think, on the second day, on the Friday of the conference. So
indeed.
But mark your calendars. So Inge, you've touched on this already, but how are the topics in the program relevant to the kind of current design issues that you're looking at in the designs team?
Yeah, well, we have one session, which is chaired by my dear designs team co-chair Mikas Miniotas, which is entirely dedicated to design law. And there the panelists will make the case for the added value of design registrations. You know, design registrations can be such an effective tool, not only for litigation, but also for custom seizures and online enforcement. And they really do not cost the world. Nevertheless, in practice, we noticed that not enough design feelings are made and that companies rather rely on copyright and unfair competition law with all the pitfalls and difficulty that entails. So that panel will aim at promoting the advantages of design registrations. And I'm very sure that they will also, in that context, discuss the EU design law reform and as that broadened the definitions of a design and a product, and thus what can be registered, such as, for example, digital content, including movement, such as, for example, a video game. And besides the current design law issues and case law will be addressed as part of the workshops, of course, such as the Riyadh Design Law Treaty will likely be addressed during the workshop on international design filings.
I'm just looking at the program. Actually, that session you mentioned that Mikas is sharing, that you also have speakers on there from the UK and Switzerland. So I guess you'll get some perspectives from the EU and from outside the EU as well.
Oh, yes, definitely. We have a very experienced litigator, John Coldham from the UK, and an in-house counsel, Lynn Schreier from Arn in Switzerland. So they will have their unique views on the topic and bring in their know-how to the table, which is invaluable.
Very good. And Jesse, can you tell us about any of the other speakers that are lined up for the conference that you're particularly looking forward to hearing from?
Well, one of the organizational issues is that we have so many speakers, so I'm not even going to attempt to discuss all of them, but I think we have succeeded in getting a very versatile set of speakers on stage with, for example, 6 in-house lawyers. In all sessions, we have people that will be able to provide the in-house perspective, and we have a collaboration with the organization of Frankfurt, which will be the world design capital in 2026, so in the year when this symposium will be taking place. And there will be a keynote speaker from the WDC 26, World Design Capital Organization, discussing the work they are doing. And there will also be the opening address will be given, together with Claudia Pappas, of course, by Lutz Dietzold, who is the CEO of the German Design Council. And to add to that, there are, of course, a host of private practitioners, both litigators and attorneys. And there will be Jorn Torenbos, who is a scientist, legal scientist, and there are designers who will be on stage. So we have tried, and I think we have succeeded in getting a very broad spectrum of a lot of different views, different ways to look at the same subject matter of that of the protection of product design, which altogether should be an inspiring combination.
Yeah, industry professionals and private practice lawyers, and that's obviously the case, isn't it? And also people from quite a range of different countries. I'm just looking through, obviously, the Germany, the Netherlands, I think you mentioned the UK, Switzerland, Italy, France. So there's a speaker from the US as well, I think. So
2 US speakers who, of course, will be able to add their insights, because they face the same challenges as we do, but solve them in a different way, which can be very inspiring to hear how they do it. For example, on the topic of the trademark protection of product design, which in the US is far more mature, I would say, than it is in the EU. So I think we can learn a lot from the US perspective in that regard.
So Inga, Jess has already mentioned that there'll be some workshops as part of the design symposium. Can you just tell us a little bit more about the workshops?
Yes, sure, absolutely. Well, we have 2 tracks of workshops, both divided in 2 sessions of 1 hour each. Track 1 deals with the strategic use of the different types of IP protection. And this will be an interactive workshop where we look at practical cases from the different legal angles, namely design, trademark, copyright, unfair competition law, and how the different systems intertwine and can be used most effectively, and what strategic considerations must be made for filing and enforcing IP rights related to product design. And part 1 of this workshop will be dedicated more to registered IP rights, such as trademarks and registered designs. And part 2 of this workshop will be dedicated more to unregistered IP rights, such as unregistered designs, copyright, and also unfair competition law and the national peculiarities, such as parasitisme or parasitism under French law, for example. And track 2 of the workshops offers very valuable practical know-how on international design filings, which can be very tricky and require a lot of strategic and formal considerations, particularly with respect of the views to be filed, because the same views have to be accepted by all the country to which the application extends. So the requirements need to be met for Japan as well as for the US and whichever country the application designates. And in the second half of track 2, participants can enhance their practical knowledge on online enforcement and other aspects of digital distribution related to product design.
And Well, the workshops, I guess, will be to some extent interactive. So there'll be an opportunity for people to kind of engage and discuss and ask questions and that kind of thing.
Yes, 100%. That's going to be the whole purpose of it. It's a workshop. So it's supposed to be interactive and people will be able to participate and bring their views to the table, ask questions and make suggestions. So yeah, that's going to be the playful, fun part. I hope it will be very enjoyable.
Good. Thank you for that. And Jesse, we've talked a lot about the educational side of the program and I'm sure there'll be a lot of hard work, but will there also be opportunities for networking and for some socializing?
Of course, it wouldn't be a Marks event if that wouldn't be part of the program. So in the official program, so to say, we have extensive coffee breaks, lunch on the Thursday and the Friday, and the Thursday evening, there will be a reception and walking dinner. There will be an address by the keynote speaker, but other than that, that is, of course, a great opportunity to mingle with all the other attendees. And of course, it will be hosted in one hotel, so it will have the great Marks vibe of everybody being in the same spot. And then, of course, there's the informal part where I assume a lot of people will arrive on the Wednesday evening. So no doubt there will be people meeting up on that evening. And the program ends at the Friday afternoon at lunch, but that leaves great opportunity for people to, for example, go to the Design Museum in Frankfurt. And we may even, if at time and budget allows, organize something informal for people to go there collectively to have a nice Friday afternoon together with other attendees. So I would say there's plenty of opportunity not only to dive into the contents of the matter, but also the informal and social parts of our work.
And the hotel where it's being hosted is quite an iconic hotel as well, is that right?
Yeah, I've never been there, but I hear it's great. I think it's NH Collection Spin Tower, which is a very new hotel. And from what I've heard, it's spectacular architecture and it's a great place, a really nice venue for an event like this.
And appropriately of a striking design, I think, as well.
Indeed, indeed.
Inga, are you very familiar with Frankfurt? Any tips for people visiting Frankfurt in January?
Of course, I've been to Frankfurt, yeah, a few times. Actually, there's Marks, the spring team meeting is in Frankfurt every second year. So Marks members or team members are familiar with Frankfurt. And is there any, well, I'm not a local, so, but so, the food is always good.
Yeah.
You know, they have the green sauce.
Yeah.
And yeah, and wine and stuff like that. So it's a fun place and I'm sure we'll have a good time.
Yeah. And there are some great museums and sites to see there.
Yes, yes. The opera, of course, is there. It's very, very famous. And
cathedrals and stuff. So, yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, if people do have a bit of extra time, then it's well worth spending an extra day or a weekend even while they're there.
Yes. The historic old town is really picturesque, as they say. And yes.
And just going back to the conference and the program, Inga, I mentioned you're the co-chair of the Marks Designs team. Can you mention any other projects that the designs team is working on at the moment or any other kind of priorities you have?
Well, yes, of course. We do have a few other projects on our plate. One of it is that there's currently a consultation held by the UK IPO relating to the review of UK design law post-Brexit. Mm-hmm. And the team's currently preparing answers to the 90 pages questionnaire, which is to be filed by the end of this month. So they are working on it. It's a lot.
Right.
And besides, the EU design law reform is also still being implemented. I mentioned that at the beginning.
Yeah.
And the team is continually monitoring the process and provides input wherever appropriate. For example, the EU Commission just launched a consultation regarding the draft for a delegated regulation, setting out the rules for certain proceedings concerning registered designs. So, yeah, we have that. And then there's the Design Tracker, which is an online tool on the Marks website, providing by country overview on the national design laws and filing requirements. So yes, we're currently gathering input from additional countries and updating the existing content. Busy with that. Got a lot of project, a lot
Very
of fun
busy.
Things to do. Busy.
Yes. And I know that the members of the designs team have been involved with the EU reform for many, many years. You may have thought it was all finished when it was passed, but it sounds like the work is still continuing.
Oh, yes. No, it's still continuing. You know, right now we have the law, but it's implemented by the EU IPO, and there's, you know, side regulations being adopted. So yeah, it's a process, and yeah, it's interesting.
So there's a lot going on. So Jesse, that you mentioned this is the first Marx Design Symposium. Are there plans to hold further design symposiums in the future?
If demand allows.
If there's interest. Yeah.
Yeah, then of course. I mean, this is a topic that is constantly evolving. So I think it's like the luxury brand symposium that takes place every other year. It would be great if we would be able to do something similar for product design to get this show on the road every other year. I'm pretty sure there will be more than enough to discuss and more than enough people for whom this is very interesting to be part of.
Yeah. Great. Well, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves just yet, but maybe just focusing on the first design symposium, Inga, is there anything, just in the final few minutes of the podcast, is there anything really specifically that you're looking forward to at the first design symposium?
Well, I'm looking forward to really having fun and indulging in discussions with like-minded product design law enthusiasts from all over Europe and beyond. Yeah, I really look forward to it.
And what about you, Jesse? What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I'm hoping for awareness that we are leaving the area where product design was different in all the EU jurisdictions with some similarities to the point where it becomes the same with local differences. And I think that is where we are at the brink of that, I think. With the MIO judgment, I think the balance tilts towards it being more the same than different between other member states. And I think if we can mark that moment within Marx as a sort of start of a new pan-European product design era, then I would be really happy.
Great. Well, thank you both very much. I think we need to wrap up there. It's been very good to hear from you. And thank you also to all our listeners for joining us today. So we are recording this in November, and as I mentioned, the registration for the Design Symposium has recently opened, and you can now register your place on the Marx website. Just go to the marx.org/events page and follow the links. I don't know if space is limited. I guess it probably is. So you best sign up soon to avoid missing out, I think. And we look forward to hopefully seeing many of you in Frankfurt at the end of January for the first Design Symposium. We'll have another episode of the Talking Marx podcast very soon, so do look out for that. But in the meantime, just say a final thank you to Inga and Jesse for joining us today. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you, James. My pleasure as well.
Join us again soon for another podcast on an important issue for brand owners. To find out more on our website and guest speakers, visit marx.org/podcast.